Blog Talk Radio.
February. Giacomo Rossini is best known for his many works. He wrote a mass, and he also wrote, most famously, William Tell, an opera, a very long opera, and A Barber of Seville, which is more popular. He peaked at 35, and he lived a long time, and he figured, I just don't have any more creative juice, and he stopped writing. The inventor of the submarine, an Irishman, John Holland, his birthday today. Also, the other brother of the Dorsey Brothers band, there's Jimmy and Bobby Dorsey. And, of course, Frank Sinatra learned to sing, add the technique to his singing, and it's all about breathing by watching one of the Dorsey Brothers play the trombone. Among the deafs today, not many prominent deafs, so I'll let that go. But the major event was Marquis de Sade, who wrote this treatise on sadism, and of course he was involved in practices. He was transferred from the hospital to the Bastille. Yeah, this is about the time of the French Revolution. Among the events, other events today, this was interesting. In 1892, this has been a long ongoing fight between the United States and Russia and the seal hunters, that women liked the fashion of seal coats and seal gloves. There was a treaty finally signed between the United States and Russia. And, of course, President Benjamin Harrison played a big role in that. In 1904, Teddy Roosevelt set up a commission to study the feasibility of the building the Panama Canal. And, of course, it was built in the wrong place, and we don't even own it now. I think China owns it. And you can thank Bill Clinton for that one. Also on this day in 1940, the Oscars, Gone with the Wind, took 8 Oscars, and the first black, Hattie McDaniel, received an Oscar. Here is a clip from that film, Gone with the Wind. It's about land, which is very important. And this is Thomas Mitchell, who plays the father of Vivian Leigh, who plays the actress there, Scarlett O'Hara.
There's none in the county can touch you, and none of the state.
Pa, I'm proud of yourself, you are.
Well, Katie Scarlett O'Hara, so you've been spying on me. And like your sister Sue Ellen, you've been telling your mother on me that I was jumping again.
Oh, boy, you know I'm no tattletale like Sue Ellen. But it does seem to me that after you broke your knee last year jumping that same fence...
I'll not have my own daughter telling me what I shall jump and not jump. It's my own neck, so it is.
All right, Paul, you jump as you please. How are they all over Twelve Oaks?
The Wilkses? Oh, in the stew you'd expect with the barbecue tomorrow and talking nothing but war.
Come out of the war. Was there anyone else there?
Oh, their cousin Melanie Hamilton from Atlanta and her brother Charles.
Melanie Hamilton. Pale-faced, mealy-mouthed minion. I'll hate her.
Ashley Wilkes doesn't think so.
Ashley Wilkes couldn't like anyone like her.
What's your interest in Ashley and Miss Melanie?
It's nothing. Let's go into the house, Paul.
Has he been trifling with you? Has he asked you to marry him?
No.
No, nor will he. I had it in strictest confidence from John Wilkes this afternoon. Ashley's going to marry Miss Melanie. It'll be announced tomorrow night at the ball.
I don't believe it.
Here, what are you off to? Scarlet! What are you about?
Have you been making a spectacle of yourself running about after a man who's not in love with you when you might have any of the bucks in the county?
I haven't been running after him. It's just a surprise, that's all.
Now, don't be jerking your chin at me. If Ashley wanted to marry you, put me with misgivings, I'd say yes. I want my girl to be happy. Can you not be happy with him?
I would.
But what difference does it make who you marry, so long as he's a southerner and thinks like you? And when I'm gone, I leave Tara to you.
I don't want Tara. Plantations don't mean anything when...
Do you mean to tell me, Katie Scarlett O'Hara, that Tara, that land doesn't mean anything to you? Why, land is the only thing in the world worth working for. Worth fighting for. Worth dying for. Because it's the only thing that lasts.
Oh, Paul, you talk like an Irishman.
It's proud I am that I'm Irish. And don't you be forgetting, Missy, that you're half Irish, too. And to anyone with a drop of Irish blood in them, why, the land they live on is like their mother.
That film, Vivian Leigh, got the role, and she took $20,000 pay. It was her check, and the film grossed millions, and Clark Gable was smarter. He took a piece of the action, became a millionaire from that film. And also, it's been redone many times. It's one of the great films, one of the 50 greatest films ever made, according to a lot of people who are film aficionados. And also on this day, we had, of course, Hattie McDaniel was the first black to win an Oscar. She won an Oscar for her role as the maid in that picture. In 1956, the Islamic Republic of Pakistan was set up. And, of course, Brigadier Ingo, who I interviewed, he did one of his last interviews. He was the commanding general of the Bengal Lancers. He fought in Europe and came from a famous family. One of his classmates at Sandhurst, the Britain's West Point, one of his classmates was David Niven. Interesting crowd. 1968 was a hot year in America. There were riots. Of course, Robert Kennedy was killed after he won the California primary. And, of course, Lyndon Johnson set up the Kerner Commission. Otto Kerner was a former general in the Illinois National Guard. He was U.S. attorney for Northern Illinois, and Harry Truman appointed, and Kerner made this incredible statement, and this is why he lost credibility later on, claiming that there was no mafia in Illinois, if you can believe that one. Later, Kerner ran for governor and was elected. He married, he was part of the Bohemian ethnic group in Illinois, and he married Cermak's daughter. Anton Cermak was the Bohemian mayor of Chicago, who was murdered or assassinated, we're not sure, down there in Miami when he was with FDR. And his famous last words, I'm glad it was me, Frank, instead of you. Anyway, Kerner got into trouble after he did the Kerner Commission initial report that there was two Americas, black and white. LBJ appointed him a federal judge on the Seventh Circuit Appellate Court, and then all the scandals of that Kerner was involved in, bribery and all the rest, surfaced, and he was prosecuted by a U.S. attorney who later became governor of Illinois. Anyway, Kerner appealed his conviction up to the U.S. Supreme Court, which refused to hear it. You know, they didn't want to rule on another judge. Anyway, Kerner was sent to prison, and he died in disgrace. Also on this day, another guy whose background surfaced, Kurt De Waldheim, was the head of the U.N., back during the 60s and 70s, and it surfaced that he was involved in the Nazi army, or Eichmann's group, in deporting Jews and others, and so he had to resign. Now, what's going on in San Francisco? It's really bad. They say if it happens here first, it'll spread. We have a school board that's been swimming in corruption ever since Robert Alioto was school superintendent. Robert Alioto is not related to the San Francisco Aliotos. Of course, he's dead. He came from Yonkers, New York, and before he left, he burned all his files. He came to San Francisco, and he played really dirty politics that put even Tammany Hall to shame. I was in a district at the time. And anyway, finally they forced him out with a buyout of a Porsche and $250,000 in cash. He got drunk one night and ended up crashed into a ditch and died. And he's one of those people we consider late and unlamented. Anyway, the district has been in all kinds of problems. They had Leland Yee, who's just been convicted in federal court for bribery and other issues, and he was on the San Francisco School District. He, as a commissioner, he was a psychologist, and he was charging his psychology business expenses off to the school district when it had nothing to do with the school district. So this is one of the things that he was involved in. And, of course, the big HUD scandal here, community development, multimillion-dollar scandal here in San Francisco. Also on that San Francisco school board was Rosario Anaya, who just died of breast cancer. She came from Cochabamba, Bolivia, and was involved with a major drug trafficker, Antonio Soruco. And also, she never lived in San Francisco County. She lived in Alameda County, and she lied about that. She was getting millions of dollars of HUD money for her school and to do rehab, and she got permits to do the rehab but didn't do the rehab and pocketed the money. She's also involved in real estate fraud, forging documents. Then we had Tom Amiano, who was a gay comic or drag queen who came from New Jersey. He was on that San Francisco Unified School Board. And he was one of those who promoted condom C, toilet paper, soap, and showers net. What that meant was he was one of those early board members pushing condoms for all the school children. And the parents would have nothing to say about it as they have today. They've been told, in effect, that you don't own your children. We do. Now, one of the scandals in the San Francisco School District was they didn't have money for toilet paper, didn't have money for soap. Kids couldn't take showers, or if they took showers, they were raped. And so what happened was, to go to the toilet, so at one school, the kids had to go to McDonald's, and McDonald's was charging them $1 to use their john. This is what was going on. Also, a couple of the school board members were involved in pornography, male prostitution funding. Political association with these people involved in video voyeurs and international drug trafficking. That was Rosario Anaya. Now, this homeless issue is not a San Francisco issue. It's not a New York issue or Chicago issue or Toronto or British Columbia. It's an international issue. And it's unfortunate that here in San Francisco we had a huge armory, which could have been used in part to help house the homeless. It could hold several thousand homeless people or did National Guard and soldiers years ago. Instead, that building, it takes up a whole block, was given to a male prostitution video voyeur outfit out of Budapest, Hungary, one of the connections. Now, and of course, we're seeing a lot of reports in newspapers and everything of these, what we call daytime reporters. They don't go around at night to see what's really going on. So what did taxpayers and citizens who are concerned about these billions of dollars which the government has given to various cities to deal with the problem, they should ask the question, the taxpayers and the citizens should ask the questions, what resources are available in the city to help the homeless? Who is accounting for this money? In San Francisco County, one-third of $1 billion has been spent on these programs, but nobody knows where the money went. So they're the poverty puppeteers out there who are profiting from this. And, of course, the media morons, so two of them have gotten HUD-connected condos. One was Julian Malveaux, who's a controversial left-wing black, who's now in some college, women's college, I think in North Carolina. She pled San Francisco. She was on the board of one of these bogus nonprofits. Her mother, Protini, got HUD money to rehab her house. Another one, Dirty Dennis O'Patrini, he got a condo through the city, and he was involved with the railroading of Steve Nary in the legal paper, The Recorder. We have Rose Pack, who ironically came here from China and ended up at one point working for the San Francisco Chronicle. She got a condo at half price, and when the scandal on Yi blew up, she suddenly had to go to China for a kidney transplant. We have no extradition treaty with China, so we don't know if she's going to come back. She's known as a lesbian bully, and it'll be interesting to see whether she stays over there. She is a survivor. Her family survived the takeover of China by the Mao's people, but she may have overplayed her hand on this condo. Also, other things that people should be asking about is who are the homeless? Are they individuals who have just lost their jobs, their houses? Are there people who have drug and alcohol problems? Are there people who are illegal aliens? Are there people who just like to live on the street? Are there people who are mental cases? But because Ronald Reagan, when he was governor, shut down, closed the mental asylums, so these people had to come into the city and they live on the streets. There are also people who don't want to live in a shelter, who don't want their own house, and they enjoy living on the street. It's a mixed bag. And we just learned that there may be, we see some very healthy-looking young white techies with their laptops. In fact, you see a lot of laptops, bicycles, televisions, battery-operated televisions. These aren't, some of these people, they aren't poor. When they have what we call conspicuous consumption. And I've been told, I don't know how accurate this is, that some of these young techies are living on the streets so they can say when they make it big that, hey, they were homeless and they worked their way up. Well, it'll be interesting to see how accurate that accusation is. Now, we're going to be back Wednesday in March. I'm still got this cold, so we're going to end early, and we're in with our usual politics and poker. Oh, excuse me. And also, what was I going to say? We hope to have Pat Butler, and I'm going to try to get a hold of him. And, of course, this is very interesting. They keep saying, now, it's interesting about Jeb Bush. He didn't say he was quitting, but he said that he had withdrawn. So he left it open. But we'll see. Willie Brown, who's known as the Black Kingfish here in California, he's made this statement that Jeb Bush will be the Republican nominee. He made this on Larry King show, and of course, I don't know if Larry King was sucking up to him or what. One thing about Willie Brown is a lot of white people are afraid of him. The black people who know about Willie Brown just laugh at how cowardly these people are. And Willie Brown is blind in one eye, and he's considered a moral eunuch. He has fathered a child with a woman that was not his wife, and he refers to that child as his, it was a white woman, and refers to it as his white rabbit. I mean, this is the kind of character this guy is. I think that it's going to come back to haunt these guys, and so we're going to, excuse me, little clip and say, let's play it. What the heck? So Willie Brown, predicts that Jeb Bush will be the ultimate candidate. I don't think so.
And the brain power that I think a president needs. I have really become alarmed with some of the candidates on the Republican side. They are so short of talent and so short of skill, I would hate to see them or even contest seriously for the presidency. But then again, I think the Republican Party will take care of that.
Would Jeb Bush be their best candidate in your view?
I think Bush would be the best candidate on the Republican side.
Can he get the nomination?
He can get the nomination because I think the Republicans are practical. They became practical in 2012 when they figured out how to win
the election sufficiently in every district that they needed to win in order to push Nancy Pelosi out and in order to push the U.S. Senate into the hands on the Republican side of the aisle in that two-year cycle. It was a magnificent performance by them, and they did not allow the Tea Party to interfere. They didn't allow any of the crazy, nutty stuff that happens with some of the Republicans to interfere. They made it appear as if they were reflective of all America. They will do that again in their nominee for president, and that's why it's going to be really important for the Hillary Clinton operation to be a distinct alternative to that.
Well, that's the kingfish. We'll see if he's right. We know he's blind in one eye. He's referred to as the one-eyed cyclops by his enemies. Now, it's also interesting, one-time presidential candidate, Jerry Brown or Edmund Brown, four-time governor of California, has really gone gaga. He has said, and nobody in the media picked up on this, he had said in a debate when he ran for his fourth term that there are going to be 16 million more people here in California. Now, the issue is, the second issue is, he wants to build that high-speed railroad between San Jose and Los Angeles. And the question is, the railroad goes through the Central Valley, which is the breadbasket of California. Is this where those many, or not all of those 16 million people are going to be housed? Are they going to be building there to accommodate them? And, of course, who are these 16 million more people? Of course, if you look around San Francisco, you wouldn't believe the transformation of the city. So we'll be dealing with that very soon. So we're going to do our usual politics and poker. I'm losing my voice again. And go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, and we will excuse me. We will be back Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and we're getting our things together here, and hopefully we'll have Patrick Butler an interview of what's going on in the most interesting state for politics, and that's Illinois. All right, politics and poker, here we come to close the show.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead.
Cost you five. Holy, up to you.
I'm in.
So am I.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Dig in.
Hey, Spence.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the time?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republicans who's willing to lose.
How about we take Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y? I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up and cards and find the joker. Need a game for children, need a game is fun. Decision, decision, like
who to pick,
how to play, not the best.
When the call of done.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Parrot raise.
Madam.
Little phrase, good as gold.
I'll say. Raise your mind.
I'll fall.
I'll fold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try, Michael, when you think of it, I'm certain it's fun.
Mike is out. I'm afraid.
if he just would sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
If he's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Play for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Running neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck! Politics and poker, politics and poker, make the average guy a heavy smoker. Let the nominee and give him a regard. And watch while he learns that in poker and politics, brother, you gotta have that sympathy, haphazardous commodity.
That's Peter Paul Mazzola. Good night. Oh, what happened here? Okay. Well, we're going to end. Oh, what happened here? No. Okay.